Okay. Hi, all. Thanks for coming. Hi. How's your first day at DragonCon been going so far?
Awesome.
Good? Okay. Still conscious, but a few more days to go yet. So how many people here have Facebook accounts? Okay. How many people here have played Facebook games? How many people here play Facebook games a lot that will admit it? Okay. And so I'm going to list off a couple games. Tell me if you play them. Mafia Wars? Okay. Farmville? Farm Town? Restaurant City? Any of the Ville games at all? Okay, what other games do you guys play? Go ahead.
Cafe World?
Mouse Hunt?
Vampire Wars?
The others?
Tycoon.
Oh, the Tycoon games? Okay.
Agency, Covert Ops, and Fox.
Agency, Covert Ops.
Oh, Sony's in the house. Huh?
Okay. Okay, so has anybody here worked on any of those games? Nope. Okay.
I worked on that one.
Okay, so...
that was awesome.
Okay, that is... have you played it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there we go.
Wearing the t-shirt.
Ah, she's even got the t-shirt. Wow, okay. Did you bring enough for everybody? Yeah. Okay, so Fantasy Kingdoms... all right, so hi, my name's Ilanka Dunnan. I am a longtime DragonCon veteran. I think this is my 10th year. I've been coming kind of off and on since 98. Some years are blurrier than others, depending on the alcohol involved. I work at Simutronics. That's my day job. I've been doing multiplayer games for 20 years. And now we're kind of moving from the massively multiplayer online games such as Gemstone, Dragon Realms, Hercules and Xena, Alliance of Heroes, Cyberstrike. And now we're moving into the social game space. We have a game, Fantasy University, that just went into closed beta about a week ago. Other people here on the panel, we have some representing... Well, I'll let you guys introduce yourselves.
Okay, great. Hey, I'm David Godwin. I'm CEO of Sneaky Games. We make Fantasy Kingdoms, which is loading really slowly right now. So the CTO who's responsible for that is John right here. But we make Fantasy Kingdoms. We launched it in April. Before that, we were doing our own... social games, building social games for other companies, including Paramount Pictures and Random House and some other companies. So...
I'm John. I'm the CTO of the game that evidently is not going to load.
Wait, Scott, what did
Screensaver.
Oh, Screensaver.
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I actually come from a long marketing background, and last year I started playing Facebook games and thought, wow, I can do those games, and started doing them. Sneaky Games.
My name is Erin Hoffman. I actually started on Dragon Realms, same as Ilanka, and well, I guess she started on Gemstone. Dragon Realms and Gemstone call themselves the first MMOs, text-based, but thousands of players, and I moved into console games, Nintendo DS games. Kids Games recently shipped Kung Fu Panda World for DreamWorks, and have just, you guys will be the first announcement place that I've accepted an offer to go work on Mafia Wars. For Zynga, so moving into this space from online game design.
Wow. And I'm Chris Schonk. I'm also partners with John and David at Sneaky Games. I'm the VP of Biz Dev and also one of the co-founders.
Yeah, that's
down. Okay. So just to kind of get things rolling, the background that you guys have come from very different backgrounds, have worked on different games. Could each of you like talk for a couple minutes on, you know, what kinds of games that you worked on in the past and really what drew you to social games? Why do you think getting into social games is the right thing to be doing right now?
Okay. Yeah, we'll start this direction. Mm-hmm. I actually been a gamer for as long as everybody here probably has, right? Since we came out of the womb. But prior to that, I was involved and invested in a couple social network companies. So I kind of just watched the whole, you know, social network sort of evolution explode and, you know, everybody getting wired in, connecting with friends, classmates, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it seemed like the perfect intersection. I met David about 2 years ago. And we started looking at demographics, what people were doing, and the cost to enter the social gaming world is a lot less than traditional gaming world. And we decided to take a run at it and kind of did a lot of research and looked at the demographics, looked at what was out there, competitive landscape, and put together Fantasy Kingdoms as our first game. And we've got two other that we're going to launch, one probably in 3 weeks, and the other one probably end of the year.
So my development background has always been in online games. Really, it started there, and it was always intended to continue there because, to me, playing with thousands of other people is the most exciting thing you can do with a game. And I was kind of raised as a developer to be aware of those mechanics and the ways that players are more involved in online games than they are with regular console games. Console games, you finish it, you ship it, the player experiences it as it is. But an online game, the players themselves inform the way that the game design even moves in a good game. Most recently, I was very fortunate to work with Greg Johnson at Human Nature, who made the ToeJam & Earl games, Nintendo for Genesis and Starflight and all of these games. ToeJam & Earl was always conceived to be a social game in a way. It was supposed to be played with two players. That's why it was ToeJam & Earl. You were supposed to play it with another person together and move through this world. And I think that social element has infused the best games throughout history in a way that social games are the oldest games that there are. The first board games were intended to be social. I don't think they were intended to be experienced by a single player. So the thought of being able to expand this into millions and millions of players is redefining even the way that we think about games, because a lot of the Facebook games, when you look at them, are board games, but they're being played by millions of people simultaneously. So it totally opens a new frontier for game design, and that's pretty fascinating.
Chris already gave a little bit of background on Sneaky Games. I mean, I came from a marketing background. I lived in Austin my entire life. Ultima was born there, and I always wanted to program games, and I heard the stories coming out of University of Texas. I mean, you could go work for Richard Garriott as long as you're willing to work for $8 an hour, because there's about 100,000 people that would like to work for him. And so I did something else, marketing, for a very, very long time. And then once I finally got the opportunity, I switched over to social gaming. And I look at it from the side of, I mean, like she was saying, that there's, you can reach just a much broader, broader audience. As people stop watching television so much and they start playing games, they're going to start looking for interactive experiences. And right now, the best place to get that is Facebook.
At Simutronics, we've been doing multiplayer games, like I said, for about 20 years now. And we've kind of seen the whole evolution of the gaming space. Originally, we started on online services such as Genie, the General Electric Network for Information Exchange, Prodigy, CompuServe, America Online. And then from there, which was really kind of a portal service, and people would log on, they had one home service, which might be Genie or Prodigy or CompuServe, and then they'd play the games that were on those services. And then maybe we'd have a game, and then we had portals, so people could come in from Prodigy, come in from Genie, come in from CompuServe, and all play the game. And then with the internet came out, and then we're on the web, and all of a sudden things became very, very diffuse. And in order to get someone coming in playing the game, you couldn't rely on the automatic marketing that you would get from the portal. You really had to kind of go out there and market it yourself to make people even aware of what you were doing. And now the industry is kind of coming around in a circle, and now we have people going on to Facebook. And Facebook is, again, a portal. So if you're on Facebook, you have people that are already there, you have people that are that understand the interface. And gaming is so huge. I'm so excited by the gaming space, because people are coming in who are not hardcore gamers, especially with Zynga is doing and Playdom. Wow, somebody's like dying out there in the hallway. People coming in who are not gamers at all. People who are not only not gamers, but they aren't even really internet users or computer users. I've been playing some of the games on Facebook and helping other players, and they'd ask me for advice on how to play a game, and I'd say, well, go here and then copy this and paste it in here, and they'd say, what's copy-paste? and it boggled my mind that here was someone playing a game on Facebook that didn't understand the concept of copy-paste, and that shows the power of the viral marketing that's going on, of people telling their friends, got to get on Facebook. The numbers on Facebook, what are they now? They've passed 500 million users on Facebook right now.
And over 600 million.
They passed 600 million. For reference, the total number of people in the world, well, how many people are on the planet?
7 billion.
6.6 billion.
Okay, 6.6 billion. How many are on the internet in the world?
less than 500 million.
According to numbers I heard, it's 1.8 billion people on the planet or on the internet, which is both a huge number, but also it's like, wow, there's a lot of people who aren't on the internet, a lot of people who don't have access to computers and technology. But out of those 1.8 billion, Facebook's goal is to have everybody who's on the internet also on Facebook. And by passing 600 million, heading for that 1.8 billion, I mean, they're a good way towards that goal. So I think it's just a very exciting space to be in right now.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, so one of the things that's really exciting, I mean, we've talked about Sneaky Games, we've talked about the space in general, but the thing that's really exciting for me is the number of new users that are considering themselves gamers. I mean, we've had, you know, for the longest time, we had a very, the game industry is a very male-dominated industry. There was a lot of female players, but for the most part, it was male-dominated. There wasn't a lot of interest from the general public in playing games. And with the onslaught of Facebook games, we saw those numbers just change drastically. Females are really outnumber the males as far as that play games on Facebook. The general consumer is now playing it. You go to, you know, one of the first things when I sat down with Chris and we started talking about the company and Sneaky Games, you know, Chris was like, do you think people really play games? That many people really play, whatever. And so we asked the waitress that we're sitting there with, you know, and just, you know, college student, sorority girl, whatever, right? And he was like, hey, do you play any games? She's like, no, you know, kind of disgusted. No, I don't play games. And he's like, oh, so you've never played any games on Facebook? And she's like, oh, okay, I play that one farming game, you know, or whatever, right? And I like those hidden object games and stuff like that. And so it's really cool. They may not consider themselves hardcore gamers at this point, but they're heading that way. You see that with some of these new games that we'll be talking about. You know, the farming games, those are kind of the very first first level in the maturity of the social gamer. And what we'll see is we'll see more complex games coming out in the social gaming world. Yeah.
About
we have my microphone because we're recording this.
Okay. Yeah.
About you saying that, like the college girl that just plays Farmville, I've had several arguments about that. I really don't think that a person who only likes Farmville, not maybe only likes Farmville, but a person, like you said, who doesn't think they like games and only likes Farmville, I don't really see them going on and playing like actual video games, like console games or PC games.
Right, yeah. So the general populace, you probably won't see them necessarily go out and buy an Xbox 360 and play Gears of War, right? But what you will see is you'll see that the games on Facebook and the games on these other social platforms that are trying to make themselves more of a gaming social area for people to interact and exchange stories and everything else, you'll start seeing those games become more complex. For instance, City of Wonders was just released, right? And that gameplay mechanic is getting a lot deeper than some of the gameplay mechanics we've seen so far. And that's the evolution of the social gamer is going to continue up. And the games that are going to stay on top are going to be the ones that can really hit the mark on what is the social gamer hungering for next, right? What's the general populace?
How many people have heard of City of Wonder? Okay, can you like talk a minute about what it is?
Actually, John, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. City of Wonder. Anybody ever heard of the word Civ?
You made it again, Mike.
Civilization is, I mean, one of the biggest titles across PC gaming. It's one of the cornerstones of the strategic play kind of games. And City of Wonder is Civilization meets Social. They may be a little disappointed when Sid Meier actually releases his Facebook game, which I hear is coming out in the next 6 months or so. But at least for now, if you want to play Civ, City of Wonder is the place to do it. And that's actually the kind of the point. Right now, the games that the people play. I mean, for example, my mom. I got grounded routinely as a teenager for playing video games, and my mom will hack my sister's account to log in to make sure that her crops don't expire. And so they don't think of it as gaming, but they get one step closer. And as you add in new game dynamics, I mean, Frontierville, for example, is really Farmville with three or four more extra techniques. And you take the users and you slowly migrate them toward more complex gameplay, and they're gonna all of a sudden figure out that they actually are hardcore gamers, they just didn't know it.
Like, I mean, I've debated several times over what an actual hardcore gamer is. I mean, like, I've never actually considered myself a hardcore gamer. I've One of my earliest memories is playing Super Mario 64 when I got that, I think, when I was about four. And I know I've played the NES and the Super Nintendo before that, and I've played pretty much every Nintendo thing between that and the Wii. But I do enjoy some of the Facebook games, like you said. I play Mafia Wars, I play Mouse Hunt, like I said, and I lost the train of thought.
See, now, Mouse Hunt is an interesting kind of thing in terms of whether or not it's a game, and Aaron, I think, has a lot of opinions here on what is a game and what is more like an entertainment experience, and I think Mouse Hunt is one where you kind of log on once every 15 minutes and see if you've caught a mouse. Is that, who here has played Mouse Hunt? It's like you log on every 15 minutes and see if you've caught something. And
No, not like that. I mean, like when I get home from school, it's probably not my first priority, but I'll get on and then I'll do all my things, and then I'll go play like Team Fortress 2 or something, and then when I get good and angry at that, I'll stop playing. And then when I get bored, I'll just see, oh, what should I do next? I'm not like so obsessive over it that I go every 15 minutes.
Well, so you've said Team Fortress, so you're a hardcore gamer by definition already. But but here's the thing, though, that doesn't mean you can't be a social gamer and casual gamer, right? There's still the there's definitely different types of people that prefer certain types of games, and then there's people that just like various games. And it's and I think what we're gonna see, and the cool thing about this is you have all these different audiences on Facebook with different desires. The type of user that likes the games like Mafia Wars and Castle Age and those type of games,
I play Castle Age as well.
Okay, great. So those are typically different users than the ones that play Farmville and Petville and those games. They'll cross over some, but in general, the breakout of the audience is different. So.
Yeah, Castle Age is typically a little bit more male, but you'd actually be shocked the number of females that actually play the game. Yeah. And particularly when you get into the mavens, the people who, lead big guilds of people, it is typically girls, and they have typically big guilds of lots of girls. And there are guys that play those games, and it's predominantly guys, but they're not nearly as organized, it seems.
How easy is it to get demographic information about your game response? I mean, I realize they have accounts, but...
You mean...
The question is, how easy is it to get demographic information about the players on Facebook?
General stats, that kind of stuff.
Facebook Insights, they have a portal that's called Insights that will give you a lot of that information. It'll tell you, and you can act, once they authorize your application, you can ask their API for a wide variety of information. Now, their privacy settings let the users block if they don't want you to see that kind of stuff, which is challenging if you're writing the game. If you want to show their name and they block the ability to display their name, it can cause problems, but... But generally, you can get a lot of that information just straight from Facebook. As soon as they allow your application, you can go. And in Facebook Insights, we'll also show you all kinds of interesting information about like what cities do most of the people play from, how many people have bookmarked the application, how many people have played, how many times they stream post, a wide variety of demographic information and actual behavior.
The biggest game right now is Farmville at 32 million players. Is that what I've seen?
I don't know what the number knows. I know that the number is going down.
It's about half of what it was at its peak.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks to the lack of notifications. But it's pretty much everybody in the industry is when Facebook turned off notifications around April. Take off instant messenger. If somebody goes to your farm and does something. Facebook, you used to get a message that says, somebody just did something to your farm. Well, they took that away. And why that's important is you're competing for attention. And so if you have four or five games and the users can go any one of 100 different ways, if you can pop up a little box that says, hey, remember me, then that works. And the users come back and say, oh, yeah, I need to go check my crops in Farmville or your crops in Fantasy Kingdoms or somebody attacked you in Mafia Wars and you should go kill them back. But without that little reminder, it turns out that the average consumer sort of forgets that you exist. And Facebook did it deliberately. I mean, they've actually said publicly, we did it deliberately. We think you guys are making games that are not game enough, that you're just using our viral channels.
Well, our friend here that's going to work at Zynga, she got a lot of insight into that. What also happened is not only did the sort of exponential growth that everybody was taking advantage of, you know, the rising tide raises all ships sort of phenomenon, right? What also happened is that was kind of, you know, gaming light. That was truly casual social gaming, right? I mean, you know, how many months on end can you hang out on a farm and continue to plant crops, right? I mean, no matter what you do, you're on a farm planting a crop, right? Mm-hmm. Call it what you want to, but, you know, usually what happens is a user will have a certain adoption curve where something's foreign, right? And it's kind of the whole, we have, you know, Sneaky Games, kind of a 3 seconds to fun sort of philosophy where you get there, boom, you're having fun, you're interacting, you get it, right? But after you sort of master that, I mean, most of you, when you beat a game, right, you increase your level, right? You try harder, right? You go from warlord to prince level of competition or whatever it is, right? And you want a deeper gameplay, you want more just in general, right? That's just kind of how we are wired. So what Zynga was able to do is they kind of keep upping the stakes as far as consumer experience. So Frontierville is, you know, a little bit sharper than Mafia Wars, which is a little sharper than Farmville, right? And you still kind of keep developing for your constituent base, but the deeper the game experience and the more knowledge that the developers have, the more money they can make off the users. And so Frontierville is kind of the holy grail for Zynga right now, right? It's kind of what worked with Vampire Wars and Mafia Wars, but what worked with Farmville, kind of all put together. Same thing with Playdom's new game, City of Wonder, is that right? Yeah, City of Wonder.
City of Wonder is their new.
Before that it was Social City, so it's all going to go that way. We kind of look at it like this, just succinctly. I mean, it's basically a big cone, right? And the whole world wants interactivity, right? Everybody out there, just kind of think about Maslow, right? And his, you know, the needs pyramid or whatever. I mean, everybody wants to interact. They all want to be either educated, entertained, or socially stimulated to some extent. And if you can wrap that up with a pretty bow, right? People that gaming was foreign, like I would never play a game. I wouldn't log onto Xbox and kill anybody or play one of these rated M for, you know, mature games. But I'll send a birthday card to my friend, or I'll poke somebody, or I'll do a little food fight, right? Or I'll text message a emoticon, right? Well, now that turns into flash-enabled emoticon, and now it turns into, oh, now we're playing, you know, we're interacting back and forth. Well, that's what social casual gaming is, right? And there's a whole massive world out here, right, who doesn't even have connectivity, as Lanka was saying, right? But as they get it, they're going to want to do those three things. So it's kind of like Farmville or social games, casual games are kind of the gateway games, like the gateway drug. But, you know, once you're into it, most people really like it, right? And so then they want to go a little deeper. So what you're really seeing is more people are kind of going down into the experience curve on games and demanding more from them. So for developers like us, it's this process of giving them more without making it so complex or so scary that the new adopters would come in and feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. I think that to kind of turn around the hardcore gamer distinction, I would also make the argument that all people are gamers, and that when you get up in the morning and decide what you're going to do during the day, you're playing a game. You're resource managing and deciding, I'm going to do this and this and this. I can't afford to do this, and if I do this, I can do this tomorrow. And you're playing a lot of the mechanics and resource management in the Facebook games echo those real life mechanics. And if you look at the assumptions why, for instance, women don't play console games, if you pull that apart, the reason why they play Facebook games and console games ultimately is not because they wouldn't like console games, but because, practically speaking, there's one thing. They don't want to be identified as a hardcore gamer because of the social stigmas around gamers, which is unfortunate. And two, they don't want to buy a machine that's exclusively used for gaming, especially a $300 or $600 or $1,000 machine that is only used for gaming. So they can play Facebook games and games on the computer because they already have a computer for six other different reasons. And I do think that, for instance, that the notifications are hurting Farmville, they're hurting everybody, but what's hurting Farmville more, and this is just my analysis from the outside, having not started and not worked with that team, is the lack of the Elder game. Because they've had a whole bunch of people blow straight through to level 60, and the people that are level 60 on Farmville are hardcore players. The way that they're min-maxing and they're deciding what crops to plant and how many and all of these different things, the management and the investment, and a lot of them go to outside websites to research what they should be planting in what order, and they get into arguments over one farm versus another.
How long does it take to get to that level? How many hours of play?
Oh my gosh. I don't even know. I myself, I'm only level 24.
I can tell you.
I'm only in the, it's in the 30s before
it's
I
intense.
Gave up.
Yeah, but they have a large group of people at 60 who have gotten there and have stalled out. There's not a whole lot more for them to do, like you were saying. Yeah. And I think that's one of the reasons why Mafia has actually stayed very steady. It hasn't dropped a lot because it has an extremely sophisticated elder game, which is really shocking when you look at how simple the game is. It's not even Flash.
That's true.
So
yeah, it's push the big green button, which, I mean, our other game is push the big green button also. So I'm not poking at it. I'm just saying, but that's really what it is. And evidently people really like that.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've had lots of users that, I mean, they do stuff that's highly repetitive. And what they're really doing it is just as a stress breaker. I mean, they want to come home from work and then they want to spend 15 minutes just relaxing, and they don't want something that's horribly complex. They don't want something that takes an hour to do. They want to be able to just do something that's a little bit different, that's, I mean, not shuffling paper, it's not driving, it's not waiting in the car, there's nobody yelling at you, and you have some a little bit of fun.
And they're buying a fantasy, too.
Getting in a whole new world. Yeah.
To further support Aaron's comment about these players that are going up to level 60 in Farmville being really hardcore, we talked to some of our mavens that play our game, and our game's a farming game at its basis, and we're asking them what they do, what social interactions they like, all that stuff. And they were talking about gifting, because, you know, in all these games you can give free gifts to your friends, invite your friends. And they were telling us how they keep track of, they have like 50 friends, and like every day they'll log in. For each day of the week, they have so many friends they can send gifts to, because there's a max that you can send per day in Facebook. And they'll just keep a list next to their computer, and they'll literally track who they sent what gifts to every single day. Mm-hmm. They'll go through, cycle, redo it. And it's this whole management process.
Not only who I'm sending gifts to, but who sent gifts back. You know,
yes.
And I'll check them off the
right.
list if they're not sending back.
No, yeah, because they'll post on the board. They'll be like, okay, all you people that haven't sent me gifts back, you're off my list. Uh-huh. And they tell them, you know.
I even gave one of our main ones, I gave them, I posted on her, I mean, a message directly to her. By the way, did you know that if you hit ignore on a message, it actually damages your Facebook reputation as an app developer? And lets all users send less gifts, and so they change their behavior, and so they won't send to people who will hit ignore.
A few things. Well, the first was I was under the impression that Frontierville is just Farmville with like two extra things. I wasn't under the impression that was combining like the different.
Well. What Frontierville, I mean, the extra mechanics that they added for Frontierville in specific, they made it so that you have energy instead of just plain money. I mean, I play Frontierville. I mean, I play a lot of the games. I have more money and more wood than I could ever do anything with, but I run out of energy almost every single day. There's more things that I could do if I had enough energy. They added it so that the ground itself actually spawns new things, so that there's always something new for you to do. It consumes time, but doesn't actually change the end game for you. And so it's sort of kind of like a money sink, except for it's really an energy sink to get rid of it. They did directed play, which wasn't, there isn't a lot of that in Farmville. Basically, they tell you, we would like you to go to five of your neighbor's things and do stuff. And I mean, clean up something, clean up the skulls, or kill a snake, or do something like that. I mean, do a little bit of a quest. That was another enhancement that they made with Frontierville.
There's a woman who's in the blue behind you, Scott.
Yeah, I just want to make an observation about something that you were saying just a few minutes ago, and that is, I don't know that many hardcore gamers, but I know that I got addicted to a game called Travian. And it got to the point that was all I did. I mean, I used to wake up in the middle of the night to launch attacks against people who were attacking people in my group. And it was just like, and I stopped paying my bills, and I'm still rebuilding my credit rating. And my doctor had to give me medication for people who stop smoking. It helps them to stop smoking, to help me to stop being obsessed by this stuff. And now it's like, the Facebook games are perfect for me because I don't neglect the rest of my life, you know, for games. And I'm thinking that there is, I mean, probably people like I was, you know, really help you guys or whoever runs the games make big, big money. But, you know, it also seems like there's a sense of social responsibility that should go along with that, you know, just to make sure that people's lives don't get destroyed. And that's really hard when you got somebody like me with an addictive personality. But that's where I think the value of the Facebook games really comes in.
It's really interesting.
I mean, I can tell you, I am a World of Warcraft addict. I freely admit it. I have 6 months in game. my wife banned me. I'm not allowed to play anymore. And uh, I, my step down ladder was Facebook games. I started playing Mafia Wars and Farmtown, and then Farmville came out, which Farmville destroyed Farmtown really because it had the ability to queue commands. That's I firmly believe that. And it worked.
And it had Zynga behind it.
Yeah, well, Zynga has made a lot of good games, but really, I mean, Farmtown was a great game, and Farmville was, I mean, pretty much the same exact game, plus queued commands. I mean, and actually minus a few things. I mean, in Farmtown, you can actually go to town, and you can talk to people, and you can hire people, and none of that mattered, because to do a Farmtown crop took you like an hour, yeah. And to do a Farmville crop took you like 10 minutes. And like you were talking about, most of the games that you can play on Facebook, you can play the entire game in 10, 15 minutes. And so you get up in the morning while you're drinking your cup of coffee, you play 10 minutes. And you get at lunch, you take a break, you play 10 minutes. You get off work, you play 10 minutes. And
at
that's
work,
all
you
it
play
takes.
10 minutes.
Everybody gets lunches and breaks. There's nothing wrong with that. And so you can play just a little bit, and it's not all consuming. I mean, World of Warcraft is about raids. If you want to be really good at something, you have to be there for 3 or 4 hours. And it Weeks. Takes so much time. Whereas, I mean, you can be excellent at the Facebook games and only play, I mean, 30 minutes a day, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's if the game has been well engineered to even let you play 30 minutes.
And another issue is my sister, who's a mom, she likes the games that are turn-based games because she doesn't have the time to spend 2 to 3 hours focusing on just a game because she gets started into it, and then one of the kids starts crying or something's burning on the stove. And when you're playing a Facebook game, you make a turn, and then you can go off and do things for 45 minutes. Then once the kids are asleep, then you can go back to the game. I see you nodding back there as well. So it's a much more laid-back kind of mechanic.
Yeah, and I think a lot of these games require... So Facebook games, as of right now, that's going to change in the future, I believe. But as of right now, it's really a single-player game with social interactions. So you're not expecting someone to do something to you. Like in Travion, someone could attack your kingdom, and you want to be ready to build up or whatever, right? I've played a couple times, but I'm not real familiar with the mechanics, but I know that there is interaction with other people at more real time. And then there's also World of Warcraft, for sure, right, who's been in the middle of a raid, and then you're like, oh, the kid's crying, or the dog needs to go out, or whatever, and I can't do that because I can't leave my, you know, the people that are counting on me in the raid, you know? And so, in Facebook games so far, it doesn't necessarily have that same kind of dependency problem. And I think that helps also with the not be able to get up. I mean, making it easier to be able to get up and go do other things and then come back, you know, later on your time. So,
but it's still fun. I mean, even Castle Age and not that Mafia Wars needs any help at all, but even they've started adding, I mean, boss quests where, I mean, you need 4 or 5 of your friends to help you kill this one particular thing. And I mean, and I suspect that as the future goes, they're going to make it so that, I mean, it's a little bit more requirements where you have to have a little bit of a better team. It's not just the mob that goes and attacks something. It's going to be, do you have the right 5 people or the right 7 people? I mean, Castle Age added some unique dynamics to where they have healers and then they have mages and rogues and stuff, and they all have different parts of the battle that they fight. And, I mean, that's getting more toward World of Warcraft, where you have all the different party classes, and they all have their own roles. But the nice thing about it is, I mean, it's still on Facebook, and which still means that I can play in the morning, at lunch, and after I get home, and it's not going to mess everything up. I can still get that not time-specific stuff, but still play socially.
When you're making games or coming up with ideas... do you ever consider the other side of social responsibility, like promoting saving the environment or education, you know, those kinds of things? Does that ever play into your formula of making games or designing games?
Education is absolutely huge, right? I mean, we kind of look at all that stuff. We're real big into sort of the science behind games. A lot of game developers sort of build games they like, right? Like, I like this, so it's kind of, you know, I'm into this, so the rest of the world's into this kind of, you know, sort of mentality, which works in small markets, right? I mean, there's enough of, you know, individuality out there that you can corral up, you know, 2 million users or something like that. And a lot of the MMOs are like that, right? But as far as overarching things like environment and whatnot, education's absolutely huge because what it allows, you're checking two of those kind of blocks, right? You're learning and you're being entertained, right? And if you're learning, being entertained, and you're social, well, that's more of those needs that, you know, we're all trying to get those, you know, Maslow's needs or whatnot. But the big thing is that also from a parental standpoint, a lot of the players we have are, you know, a lot of the players on social games in general. More female, more women than men, right? And it's kind of the bell curve, right? I mean, it's kind of younger women, and then sort of when you get into sort of career hyper mom mode, right, it kind of dips a little bit, and then sort of, you know, kids a little older, I've got some more time kind of thing. It's almost like a saddle, right? But when you start interjecting in that I'm not neglecting the kids now, or I'm a good parent, or hey, my kids are learning something, right? Like Club Penguin, look at that, right? It was fantastic because, you know, giving your kid a credit card to go ramp it on the internet and go buy something, well, that's pretty extreme, right? But if you're able to watch Sex and the City and, you know, dad's doing this, whatever like that, and the kid is now learning something or, you know, being schooled and they're actually getting educated while they're being entertained, that's fantastic, right? So the education market's gonna be huge. And, you know, everybody's struggling with problems, you know, how do we get people's attention, right? How do we get students to interact? And it's an overarching problem, right? Well, gaming is interaction at its finest, right? So I would expect to see a lot of games in the education space coming forward.
Yep. There have been some recent examples. There's a game called Loop It, which is actually figure out how to fold proteins. And they've said that the results from the gamers playing the Loop It thing have actually found better ways to fold the proteins than the computer could figure out normally.
Wow, that's cool.
And I think you'll see a lot more games like that. The only challenge, at least as far as education goes, is on Facebook. I think there's an age 14 requirement. You can't, so that some of the younger kids just are not allowed technically to play. Now, I tell you, my six-year-old son plays and freely spends all kinds of money on Facebook. But
in terms of the charity stuff, one of the things that I liked about Zynga when I was researching them, and actually the only time to this day that I have paid for a Facebook game, was for the Haiti campaign. The Sweet Seeds, and they Zynga is actually the single largest individual donor to Haiti relief in the world. And I think, you know, coming at this from I worked on GoPets for many years, and we had this grand mission that GoPets was a game where you had a little cat and a dog on your PC, and you could dress it up and you could feed it, and it could go and visit somebody else across the world. And if somebody else had installed GoPets and my pet has gone off my screen and it's visiting China, it's actually on a person's screen in China. And so we had this ultimate grand mission that if we could get, you know, GoPets into Israel and GoPets into all over the world, and people were playing together, that it would actually bring the world together. And I think that the power of virtual items is huge, and people have an innate, increasingly expressed desire to do good things with their time. I mean, Kiva has game-like elements to it, but it's explicitly a service for people to give money to other people that need it. And I think that the Haiti campaign in particular shows that when you pair that with a game advantage, it's hugely successful and has huge potential for people to be able to express themselves in like a charitable way, in really interesting implications for the future.
You were saying about the Loop It thing of I just think that's called Folded. I'm not sure
if it's Folded. Yeah, you're probably right.
I've actually used that a few times. That you can actually get ranks for that on a BitGamer. On the Facebook games, I was actually thinking that there was like three different types. Like there's the click button games, like the Wars games, the Mafia Wars, and those. I'm not really sure what to say. What they, like they don't take that much time. They just click this, and then you come back a couple hours later, and you click it again. And then they have passive games, like I was saying, Mouse Hunt. You don't, if you don't want to, you don't have to have pretty much any. You don't have to look into it at all. And then there's like things like the Ville games, like Farmville. You have to be with it near constantly to make sure your crops aren't dying, or you need to milk something.
I think, what did you call the guilt games? Is that what you called those? I heard somebody call them guilt games. Like you felt like you had to go back or something was going to die.
Oh, the Ville mechanic.
Yeah. Ville, as
yeah,
in like...
she's calling them guilt, though, yeah.
A village.
Feel guilty, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Farmville games, I mean, there's a website, Farmer Joe, which breaks down all of the Farmville crops and tells you which one. But, I mean, And it, but if a lot of the users don't know that, and they're actually having to do the math to figure out, okay, do I want to plant this 4-hour crop or this 8-hour crop or this 12-hour crop? Which one gives you the best yield? Which one can I get back? I mean, what can I get the time for? And it may not be, I mean, we're not, I mean, folding proteins, but I mean, they're at least trying to do math and learning, I mean, stimulating the brain.
Mm-hmm. And Farmville is actually balanced against that constant activity. The strawberries, which are the 3-minute crop, I think are actually the least efficient of any of them. So there is some design in there that's trying to push people to not be there, you know, every hour of the day.
What else? There's a lot of y'all out there. Any,
yeah,
you know, what does the future have in store? I mean, developers out there, players.
I mean, this is, go ahead.
Well, the platform that you're using, I mean, the whole social and activity platform of Facebook, originally it was Friendster and moved into LiveJournal, moved into to MySpace, moved into Facebook, and each time it seems each of the platforms, with all of them, they've done something corrupt to push all their users away. Hmm. Do you think the gaming industry, Facebook has started it just a few months ago. They've started canceling accounts for reasons, they won't give a reason for canceling account. I've had a couple friends have this happen. They've started, you know, really pushing their advertising, started, you were saying they've turned off notifications, they're ignoring their users. And there's been a lot of articles lately about the things that Facebook are doing. Do you think the gaming industry is there another platform that's coming up and is ready for that? Or?
That's a great question. Well, it's not just what the networks are doing, right? I mean, privacy is a big issue on Facebook, right? But all those iterations you talk about, I mean, Rome always falls, right? But in social gaming, you think about all the companies you mentioned are social networks. So the most important thing to a social network, right? Well, a couple top things are is, well, who's there, right? You're gonna go where your friends are. So, I mean, that's why people left MySpace, because MySpace, it was almost insurmountable at the time. Everybody was on MySpace, right? And then all of a sudden, Facebook came
and
on, people started going.
Remember Orchid?
Yeah, Orchid, Bebo,
right? Taken over by Brazilians. Yeah.
And so there was a bunch of these out there, right? But, you know, people go where their friends are, right? You want to go, especially when you're talking about gaming, social gaming, right? You want to play with your friends. And so you're going to invite them to come. So whatever network, and there's been some big strides out there. I mean, High Five is one network that has made a bold move in the direction of, we're going to be the place to go to play games, right? It's kind of like right there in your face, we like games, come play games, right?
Apple's in it now too.
Google's getting into it. Google. You know, Facebook, I mean, not to get too far into it, but you know, two things to look at with Facebook, right? And they're huge, right? And they're one third of the way there to conquering everybody's got a, you know, connectivity in the world, right? But, you know, when you start looking at how cool is Facebook, right? When you're, you know, 17 and your mom and your grandma are on Facebook, well, is that really cool? Right? So think about that for a second. So, you know, how cool is it if your grandma is there? Just park that for a second, right? And the second thing is also ease of communication and ease of play, right? When things start becoming difficult or it's not, your marginal return on investment or time or money or whatever it is, you're not getting that same bang for whatever it is you're putting into it, energy, emotion, money even, right? If it's not coming back to you and you're not as happy as you used to be, you're gonna go seek out an ecosystem that will better facilitate that. And there's a lot of people waiting by the wayside. Facebook is basically trying to get into the search world, right? I mean, they're trying to become kind of like Google, right? Because people are asking, it's more valuable to ask your friends where a good Chinese restaurant is than to go Google best Chinese restaurant in my town, because that can be bought. And anytime something can be bought, it's not really the valid true answer, right? So they're trying to take it that approach. But you expect to see a lot from Google, Microsoft/Yahoo. They're still trying to get things working together there. And Facebook's trying to do it too. So I mean, it's not just gaming.
I think it's really Facebook's game to lose at this point. Yeah. They could continue to screw up and they could, you know, I think it was pretty intense, I think about 4 months ago, when the privacy stuff was really hitting a pitch and before they backed off and they made a serious recorrection and pulled away from the brink at that point. So it's going to be up to them, and they have all the momentum in their direction, so they will be difficult to unseat, but it's certainly possible.
Yeah. So I mean it's probably almost going to happen. Like Chris said, I mean, I'm not saying that you can see the fatal flaw right now, but I mean, if grandma's playing, I mean, the 17-year-old won't. I mean, at some point, and so I mean, the crowds are going to flock, and wherever the new flock is, if you can predict it, I mean, you should get into the business, because There is a lot of money to be made if you can predict where the people will flock to next.
Mm-hmm. But if Facebook can, for instance, more selectively filter, so that even if grandma is on Facebook, I can make it so grandma's not seeing what I'm doing on Facebook.
Yes.
You know, I think that they can sort of balkanize themselves. But.
Well, I mean, Google did. I mean, they did a research paper with their, I guess they're thinking, they're calling it Google Me right now,
yeah.
where they're talking about social networks where, I mean, you have the 20-something teacher who has some friends from college who happen to hang out at the gay clubs, right? And they post some really funny pictures, and the teacher posts, that's pretty funny. And that goes to all of her students. I mean, that's their case study. Is just, yeah. okay, how do you prevent the my college friends see what I say and my students don't? And then if I'm talking to my students about, I mean, check out the new science thing that's going on right now, I mean, you may not want that to go to your college friends. You just want that to go to the kids. And so trying to figure out better ways to selectively message, where right now Facebook, if you publish it on Facebook, it's public for the entire world. Everybody sees it.
Ever seen the Google Wave project?
Yeah. I was going to say, I have huge hopes for Google, but they have just three times blown it. You know, Orkut, Buzz,
yeah.
and Wave.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if they can do it. I hope that they can.
Cool,
it was really cool, mm-hmm. and I used it a lot, and I'm sad that they're taking it away, but it was not anywhere near successful enough because it was too buried and not relevant enough for to get people to go there every day.
Yeah, I'd like to see Google get up there and step up and find yeah. the right mix because they're the ones that can do it and make it good for developers and everybody else, and so.
But they have weird UX issues. It's weird.
Did you have a question?
Oh, I was just going to say when you were talking about if grandma is on Facebook, the 17-year-old won't be. I think that or if grandma's playing on Facebook, the 17-year-old won't. I think that if grandma's playing Farmville, then the 17-year-old is going to play Mafia Wars. But I think they'll both still be on there. Mm. Yeah, at least that's my experience with my kids. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's proven true so far, but it's really interesting. And I, especially working with kids on in Kung Fu Panda and on GoPets and stuff like that, they can be so fickle and hard to predict. And everything depends on what's cool. And they develop these memes and they pass them between themselves. And it's maddening to try and know what, because if they all of a sudden decide that something else is cool, they could jump.
Yeah, and I think it's even beyond just the fact that I'm playing with my grandmother or my mother or whatever, right, on the same network, and she's seen my wall posts and all that. I think it's also just the cool factor, right? It's like Facebook's not the shiny object
yeah,
it was anymore,
yeah,
right? It's gonna be the kind of everyone's on Facebook, so yeah, what's cooler? What's you know?
I think
what's
it'll
Google
be about performance, though. It'll be about something offering a feature that's actually more relevant and more useful.
Yeah, absolutely, it will be.
So you're saying it's cliquish, sort of.
Well, at least for the kids. I mean, and so I mean, if you can get it past that, I mean, Facebook. I think I mean they launched their entire network based upon colleges. All the original numbers were based on what college you went to, and then it grew from there. And that's how they. I mean, they sort of got rid of MySpace. I mean, they got earlier in the market. But if the same thing could happen to Facebook, if all of the high school kids decide that the next thing that they want to do is Google Me. I mean, then really, I mean, you're going to fight against the trend. If grandma wants to talk to the teenager, she has to be on Google Me, and there you go.
Mm-hmm. So the subject of Facebook being a portal to get a lot of these users is kind of a theme here. Has the web or the internet changed enough that if you want, I guess this would be more directed at you, Ilanka, because you'd have this experience, but do you think you guys could detach from Facebook if you had to, or have you written your code like portably, so like, you know, Google Me becomes the next platform? Are you guys keeping that in mind to jump on that, or to detach completely from these portals and just operate independently, maybe using OpenID or something similar?
Yeah, speaking for Simutronics, right now we're writing it for Facebook, but we're absolutely keeping portability in mind. We're keeping an eye on what Google's doing, and just like these guys have been saying, we'll go where the customers are. If the customers are on, you know, some service XYZ, we're going to figure out how to port over to XYZ. Yeah.
And the other part of that question is for mobile devices. Is that a big concern for? I mean, obviously, with casual gamers, mobile devices are a big thing because
well,
we all have one.
Right now, almost all of the good games are written in Flash, and really, until Apple says, you can run Flash on an iPhone, which they've been pretty much saying no way you're going to run Flash on an iPhone. It's going to be real difficult to get a big part of them. I mean, mobile. And with, at least with the Droid so far, you have so many different sizes of Droids. It's going to be difficult to build any kind of an actual graphic kind of game that can scale well against the different ones.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, that answer, I think, and John, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's specific to small and medium development shops. I think once you have the budgets of Zynga and you have the development firepower and stuff, then it's easier to take a game that's not in Flash and port it into whatever native language you need to. So, you know, iPhone already has Farmville and that type of thing, so.
But, I mean, back to your other question, I mean, opening it up, I mean, we're running on Facebook and we're running on Hi5. We're in the process of converting to MySpace. But the big trick of it is the how do you message? I mean, when everybody logs on to the internet, there's not a place that they go that I can send a, I want to talk to your friends. I mean, if everybody types in their email address, I can send them an email. But I mean, most people's email box is just so clogged up with spam they can't read anything. And so right now, that's the reason why you need some place like Facebook, is it's where do people go every day that they can just see a message about what's going on? How do you find out about a new game? I mean, it's not like you can advertise it on television. It has to be something digital in order for it to work.
But your mobile device question is really good. I mean, everybody's excited about the growth of social media, internet adoption in general. All of that is pale in comparison to the amount of smartphone usage. I don't know if you guys know this, but basically it's 2x, it's 100%, right? The amount of people on the planet who had smartphones this time last year is basically double now. I mean, in no technology platform out there anywhere is there that kind of adoption, right? So there's a lot of consumers hanging out, you know, just watch and see, you know, what, look at people when they're bored for, you know, It's humans, right? It's just us. I mean, just watch. Just sit back and watch. As soon as there's a line, people dig in their pockets, right? Yeah. Everybody needs something right away. You know, if I'm in an elevator, if I'm bored, you can go to your mobile device. How hard is it for you to go to your PC and get on and interact? I mean, it's all right there at a touch of your finger. So look for more there.
So you're gonna have to redo those portals, those pipes between the different portals that you did before. Like in the past, when you were going with AOL and CompuServe and whatever else, you guys are probably going to have some transition period between different social networking sites when Facebook falls out of favor or while you move over.
Well, I think it's more like expansion.
Yeah.
You know, you probably don't discontinue one when you're moving into another.
You're going to have a transition period where you're doing multiple portals, and then of course, like Zynga would have their own website as one of their ways in.
Blake in the back.
The casual game that sucked me in recently is the Zork reimagining that's on the web, which is not a Facebook game. Do you think that these sort of tie-ins to other licensed properties are a way to pull people away from Facebook? And is that a trend that you see? Are we going to see, you know, as part of movie promotion, we've got a new social casual game, and do you think that tie-in, that interest would be enough to pull people away from Facebook?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not sure if anybody was tracking the Playdom acquisition by Disney, but I mean, that's what it is, right? It's engaged consumer eyeballs, right? So anytime you can launch a movie, book, video game where you already have an installed base of users, it's already less risky, right? I mean, you go make X-Men the video game or whatever, there's going to be, you just slap a number on it, right? You can do the math on how many people dig X-Men and will go play it, right? Or when you do a movie for Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, you know, based on how many books sold, basically a rough number, how many people will adopt, right? So definitely look for that. But what will happen is the pendulum always swings, right? You know, eyeballs will chase, you know, in-game advertising. Well, now it'll start to look kind of cheesy, and you as a consumer will be, you know, like, this is advertising. This isn't really gaming, right? They're spamming me. Too many pop-ups, whatever. And that's when those will usually be free to play because you want mass adoption, right? So it's free. It's there. Throw a Coke on there. You're drinking Coke with your avatar, whatever it is, right? But eventually people will want to revert to quality, right? And their market always segments. So you'll have mass adoption for the free-to-play branded games. You're talking about the Disney titles, all these games we grew up with, whatever it is where there's already a living group of acknowledged people who can go play that. And then somebody will say, you know what? too cheesy. I'm out, right? And then they'll actually go part with real dollars to go have a game experience where they're not being spammed or the gameplay is not, you know, it's more authentic or whatever it is. So it'll always segment, but the pendulum just kind of swings back and forth. But I'll definitely look for more of that. All the media properties want to go there, you know, from movie studios to book publishers to Disney itself. If they hold IP and the world knows what their IP is, they can't wait to make a game about it.
I think they're not really pulling them away from Facebook, though. I think it probably goes more the other direction.
I would agree.
Yeah, I mean, I think that actually the big, powerful, immersive online games are going to become increasingly irrelevant if they don't have a social game component. And I don't say that because it's threatening towards those big games, but I think this is just a new technology that if you don't adopt it, it's so effective for acquisition and reactivation that if you don't have an arm in the social space, you're giving up so much that it might be fatal. And I think that the brands are flooding into Facebook. And I mean, I've talked to like 5 different developers in the last week and asked them what they're doing. They're saying, we're making a branded Facebook game, which you didn't previously see. They're out there. There are already movie promo social games and things like that, but it's going to become more prominent, and there's going to be more work for smaller developers in doing that kind of thing, I think.
Yeah, and I think two things, that the tying the hardcore, the traditional game industry into the social gaming front and having some element within Facebook for Team Fortress or whatever hardcore game you may play, World of Warcraft, that's really important. It also opens up to bringing some of the audience members that may want to expand beyond social games. It opens up a new audience for those people. And then, and I think on the studio front, they're really behind right now. I mean, as far as the branded properties, they're kind of coming late to the party, but they are going to come, and it's going to be a big deal when they do. And you'll start seeing a lot more traffic, a lot more applications that are big names. We just saw EA came out with Madden that just launched a few days ago. That's a really big deal.
We can maybe ask Roger, are we going to see a Spider-Man title anytime in the next, 6 months?
Not for markup, but I mean, we do have AC Online, Covert Ops, but we have AC MMO, all of that.
Yeah, and that's interesting, because like, the Covert Ops deal is not even a branded. I mean, that's not a property that Sony had before they made it for Facebook. So it's a really weird thing. Why, Sony has all these great properties, and they chose to create a new one for Facebook. And I think what you'll see is you'll see them start looking at titles that they have: Paramount, Sony, Disney, and they'll start taking advantage of the properties that already have fans on Facebook. There's tens of thousands of fans with fan pages out there already. And they'll start bringing titles focused around those things. I mean, who wouldn't play if this was, build my Magic Kingdom instead of Fantasy Kingdom? I mean, it would be, our numbers would be 5 times as much, hundreds of 100 times as much.
It's a way for somebody like a hardcore, PC or console gamer that's getting that, wants that little fix from their game at home, can log in and do some extension of some arm of their game through Facebook.
Yeah.
And at the same time, crafting, interact with their guildmates and their friends through Facebook, still do those challenges, still have the bragging rights, and then go home and, if you update and you get back in and log into your console.
Yeah, that's a really good point. How many people here play WoW? We raised hands. Okay, so it's not as many as I thought it might.
No, I'm done. Yeah, she cut me off. I've been banished.
Okay. I mean, it would be
cool.
She
had a question.
Big question, yeah.
First, don't friend grandma on Facebook. Second, what social networks are y'all looking at beyond Facebook? And then third, who do you follow on Twitter that are experts in Facebook game design?
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Other networks, we're working with High Five, we're working with MySpace, we're working with Vixmo, and what was the other one we looked at?
I don't remember. I know what you're talking about, but don't know the name.
Ask me tomorrow without so much rum. and Twitter, Facebook has pretty much obliterated Twitter for me. I don't do Twitter at all. I mean, I only have so much time in the day to watch social stream, and right now Facebook is eating it all.
I'm the same. Very rarely do I go on Twitter anymore. Not that I was a huge Twitterer at the past, but these days it's Facebook status updates for me these days.
Funny, me too. I mean, I have a social media director that kind of always follows Twitter that I kind of let brief me on what's going on. It's just too noisy. Twitter's way too noisy. It's not even worth my time, really.
So.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess speaking up as the lone Twitter user, I'm Twittering right now. I feed Twitter to Facebook and use TweetDeck to sort through all kinds
Howie
of things.
Mandel.
I was addicted for a while to Twitter searches because you can just find out what people are talking about live, which is really exciting. It's like if I look up Kung Fu Panda, look at this, every 3 minutes somebody's watching Kung Fu Panda. It's exciting. Design is an interesting question because to me the design space is what's expanding the most and is becoming the most exciting and the most interesting right now. And to be honest, I don't think anybody really, really knows what they're doing about it. I think that we're seeing much more expansion and people trying to do older things. But I think Brenda Brathwaite is doing exciting things. Her, I don't know if you can look. Her tag is B. Yeah, I don't know if we can.
He's on Inside Social.
Inside Social.
Yeah, I was gonna show it.
OfferPal just got a new CEO.
Oh, did
they? Oh, really?
We're learning new things while we're here.
real time.
The live world.
There was a woman behind you with a question, I think.
Who were we looking for?
Oh yeah, sorry, but the two designers I would look at B R A. Yes, the two B's and then B R A.
Okay.
THWAITE, Brenda Brathwaite. She's a very experienced wizardry designer from way back. And she's now with LOL Apps, and I think she's doing really interesting things with social games. And I would watch
The cats.
The cats?
The LOL Apps? Is that the cats?
I don't know.
I think so.
They launched Critter Island recently, which is pretty good. And I would watch Raph Koster because he's one of the few designers that's also very experienced MMO designer that's now moved into the space. His blog is terrific, and then he doesn't do much on Twitter. Those are the two that are on Twitter. I would say Steve Moreski would be good to follow too, but he's not really active there.
Yeah, and if you're really interested in the Facebook space, just as from an industry perspective, look at Inside Social Games. That's the best news source for really tracking what's going on in the industry, who's coming out with new games. They'll also do design reviews on games, or they'll do reviews on games, and they'll give feedback about new game design mechanics and other things that have gone into some of the newer titles.
They have a good RSS feed, too, so if you're into that sort of Twitter, you know, like super small sort of punchy content, you'll like the RSS feed.
What kind of language do you code your apps in?
Well, at Sneaky Games, we code in mostly in C# and Flash. The rest of the industry, Zynga and everybody else, is usually LAMP, so they're doing Linux, Apache, MySQL, and PHP.
And we're using Ruby. The Microsoft.
We're using Ruby.
Microsoft platform, but using C#.
We're using C# on the Microsoft platform, but we're a pretty rare breed as far as Facebook goes.
.NET or?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Good question. You may see more of that. I think you will, right? We made kind of a pretty big strategic bet to go that direction because we think things are, it's just the tip of the iceberg, and it's a lot more efficient, effective kind of there. So expect when people start looking at the cost of servers and what's going on, and oh my gosh, look at all these users, what are we gonna do? People are gonna rethink about the way I think that they do some of the code, and you'll probably see some people switching over.
One of the nice things Zynga does is they've given out a lot of really big speeches about exactly how to architect your stuff, all based on LAMP. And then there's a company, and I saw the ad just a minute ago, called RightScale, which is sort of, you can build it really small, and then they're really good at multiplying whatever you did across the LAMP stack using Amazon's EC2 architecture.
And this is another site worth mentioning if you're interested in just looking at some of the games and really what's really truly popular from a volume standpoint. It's appdata.com. It's run by the guys at Inside Social. And it'll list off the top apps, how many, as far as number of users and what apps are growing.
For monthly active users is the number we track a lot, right?
Do you watch all Facebook?
Yes.
You get their feeds? I think they're pretty good.
Yep.
That's another inside, likely Inside Social. They give a lot of really useful information.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they're not afraid to bash Facebook, which I thought was a little surprising because at first I thought it was actually part of Facebook. But nope. Evidently not.
They're a little rougher than TechCrunch, but sometimes they have more interesting information.
Yeah.
They almost seem a little bit gleeful every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, when people are going after Zuck, they're like, yes, go get them. Especially around privacy.
Do you want to spend a couple minutes kind of showing off Fantasy Kingdoms?
We can for sure.
Okay.
I'll just show, I mean, it was up there, so we don't need to spend too much time with it, but This is our game, Fantasy Kingdoms. Right now, we're on the actual. We kind of have our. What was that guy's name that you always friended on MySpace? What was
Tom.
Tom. Yeah. So our Tom is Harmony at the bottom here, and that's kind of our fake character that you can go and you can interact with her kingdom. You can go. She has a magical well. You can click on that well and you get a special item, and. And that's it. It also just kind of shows off what you can do with your kingdom. And it's amazing. Some of the things that we've seen our users do with different things, we've seen users create different platforms within their kingdoms where they've used stone benches, because we don't have stairs, but they've used stone benches to make it look like there are stairs up to different platforms within their elevations within their kingdoms. And so they're doing really creative things with crates and other things. And you've seen some of that in Farmville, but it's been a lot of fun. Seeing what the community does with it.
So just developer, the kind of thing I'd ask is, like, what is the core mechanic? What are players doing within the game? I'd ask, how are you monetizing the game? What would the basic answers for that?
Yeah, so we started the game out, first of all, we're a small studio, so we started out just trying to get to the point where we had a farming game that was in a fantasy setting. And then we knew from there that every week we'd be releasing new content. We have an entire roadmap around where we're heading. But there's a lot of features that we've implemented, a lot of features coming. We've implemented things like quests, very similar to Frontierville's quest system. We've got crafting in our game. We're working on a full-on avatar system. And we've got some other things that are going to be coming. They're going to take some of the RPG things from the MMOs that we know that we can translate into social gaming pretty well without scaring users away. And we'll be adding those in. And,
okay. We really kind of tried to think about it sort of like, I don't want to keep making the Farmville comparison, but when you've got a segment that's out there, which is the Farmville segment, right, we want to take it to another level as far as in-game play, sort of, artwork, kind of neatness, I guess you could say, but you don't want it to be foreign, right? So you still plant, you can still gift, you still help your friends out. So you take what the user already understands as far as mechanic, and then you take it up a couple notches on art, in-game play, sort of things like that. So you're not really teaching them something new, you're just elaborating on what they already have. And it's worked out pretty well for us. I mean, I think the big difference with some of the small studios, I mean, all of our users have come from their friends inviting them, right? I mean, mm-hmm. We're not Playdom, we're not Zynga, we don't just throw a bunch of money at it. I mean, we don't necessarily have that, right?
If we had. Anybody who has a checkbook, after this.
But that's a real big thing, and it's, if you look at the other games out there, I mean, that's a true testament to sort of your base, is where your new users coming from. Did you buy them, or did they come of their own accord because a friend told them about it? So, we're not huge, but that means you got the formula dialed in, right? So if there's a developer out there, dial that formula in, because once you fix that, it's game on. So
do you incentivize your players to invite? I mean, do they get something for bringing in new to the acquisition?
It's just wall posts. I mean, we just posts. Stay.
Oh, no, I mean, like, if I recruit 5 people, do I get something?
No, we don't do that.
Well, okay. That's not entirely true. There's achievements so that the number of people that you invite, there's some gates where you're not allowed to go. And this is what Farmville does it also. You're not allowed to have certain things at the not monetization level unless you have a certain number of
friends.
Right,
the expansions.
But it's not as blatant as, hey, you not, the Mary Kay Award, right, the pink Cadillac.
Yeah, you might try it. I mean, I think that viral is big even with the notifications being killed, but it's about, I mean, especially if you can, what we were doing at the very end of GoPets was incentivizing them to acquire new users, but also to bring them up to level 10. So to get the really cool. good prize, you had to get so many players and help them level up. And you get this generosity system going, which is pretty cool.
We need to check it
on that front, one thing that we have done is we ran a, and this goes back to even a more important thing for us, which is community. But we ran a contest early on that we were trying to hit our 100,000 users when we first started. And we basically said, hey, help us get there by the end of this weekend. And we'll give everyone in the game like a free special virtual item, right? And it was the only way to get
100,000 MAU monthly users.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it was our first 100,000 registered users.
Okay.
That was
okay.
it. It was when we first launched, and they did. They pushed really hard, and they were inviting their friends, and it was part of a big community push.
Yeah, that's great.
To get us to the right number, right?
We had a little rocking egg.
Yeah.
The farther we got along, the egg rocked more.
Yeah.
That's cool. So now we just crossed 1 million.
It was a lot of
a big
fun.
Fanfare.
Yeah. No, that's right. We have
1 million registered users.
We put a press release out, but we're all at Dragon Con.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
The first thing I want to tell you is that I've been live blogging this panel on Facebook.
But the second thing I'm wondering is, I wasn't here for the first part of it. What are your games?
That's ours.
Yeah, so okay. This is Fantasy Kingdoms. We're with Sneaky Games. Mm-hmm. And Fantasy Kingdoms is our first game that launched in April. And then you want to show?
I'm from Simutronics, and our game is Fantasy University, which we just did the press release a few days ago, just went into closed beta a week ago on Monday. So there's an article on Wired.com about it, talking about some of the core elements, since you're asking, for like virality and what advantage do you get for inviting people. So the game, it's kind of a satirical, kind of a Mad Magazine kind of RPG. And so you get various quests, and it's all done in a very, you know, tongue-in-cheek style, that you have to go like fight sponge blobs and beat them up, and your weapon is a soap on a rope or a door snake or something. And as you go into combat, you do have the chance of having BFFs, best friends forever, and you can have up to six of your friends come in. When you have friends, the advantages you get, for one, the amount of stuff that you can carry is limited, but the more friends that you have, the more stuff that you can carry. Another is the energy timer, which might, you know, take 20 minutes to get an adventure point, which you can use to go on. The more friends you invite, the quicker your adventures will recharge. That'll be another thing. What else? When you have BFFs, they have active and passive abilities. So maybe when you're in combat, you can go in and you can say, okay, I'm going to use my Emomancer friend or my Slack Ninja friend that will go in there and cast some sort of a spell or use some ability in combat, and also passive abilities, which means that just because they are your friends, they may jump in to help you kind of automatically. And when a creature dies and you get treasure from it, each of your friends has a chance of earning something from that creature, even if they were not online at the time that the combat occurred. So the next time they log into the game, it'll say, look at all the kind of goodies that you've gotten. And then we have a crafting system and others. But those are kind of the incentives that we offer to people to go and invite other people.
So I'm going to need to wrap up a little bit early for this one.
Sure. So you got movies to show. Hacker movies to show.
We have movies coming.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. I think we're good on questions then. Thank you all for coming. And Facebook, it's an exciting space, and we look forward to making games that you guys might enjoy playing. So
thank you. Thank you.